the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Of course it's well wherever you are, unless, of course, you're one of those teams that had a heartbreaker last Sunday. But that's in the rearview mirror. That's 2013 stuff. We're on to 2014, don't you know? Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. As always, available on iTunes and at NFL.com/Shek.
S-H-E-K, Shek.
Seated to my immediate right, ready to break down this exciting wild card quartet of games. And they really are dandy. I know it's easy to shill for the NFL playoffs. Obviously, everybody's going to be sitting in front of their television watching these things. But it really does seem to me to be as a collection of games that are really difficult to call. So let's see if we can figure these things out. And in just a little bit, one of the guys who's going to be participating in one of those games, Giovanni Bernard, of course, rookie running back for the Cincinnati Bengals, is going to be joining us in just a little bit here. In the meantime, to my immediate right, from NFL.com and beyond, it's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Adam Rank is here. Both that drunk on beer. He likes fries. Fries. With gravy.
Hey, boss. Thanks for having
Happy
me.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And can we finally say goodbye to those jokes of, you know, whenever New Year's happens, people are always quick to be like, oh, I haven't seen you since last year.
I'm done with those
done.
Two.
Done yeah. and done.
We're See you
done.
Next year.
Yeah.
Everybody laughs. I don't know. Really? Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's done with, right?
Yeah. It's like when you have to laugh at like one of Warren Sapp's jokes or something. And it's just one of those instances.
Courageous soul, Adam Rank, going after Warren Sapp.
No,
take
like
heed,
that.
All you playoff participants. That's the attitude you need. You need that sort of swagger. Unintimidated, seated behind the glass, of course. We mentioned on our earlier podcast this week that Black Tie was, of course, taking a vacation. How else would he start 2014? This man has 250 vacation days out of 365. So he's out, and in his stead is Skinny Tie, a St. Louis Rams fan, and otherwise. What's the poop with you, Skinny Tie?
Oh, that's egregiously
that's
wrong.
That's hurtful.
Wait, Rams?
He's a Vikings fan.
Oh, that's right. You're a Vikings fan.
Right.
I get confused by you.
It's
You're
okay.
all over the place.
I know.
Well, then why aren't you a Twins fan?
Well, because, I mean, I grew up in St. Louis, but
right.
there wasn't a team when I was a kid.
I got you. I got you. That upsets me because it makes me feel old because, of course, the Cardinals still feel like they're eventually – like they're just
oh,
on the road
yeah.
right now. They're hanging out in the desert for a couple of years, but eventually they go back home, right? They go back to St. Louis and they go back to the cooler uniforms that Neil Lomax and company used to wear.
You would think so, but they got a nice stadium down there in Glendale now. And
I guess they're going to probably stay there.
Probably
more
stick
I think
around
about it.
For a long.
All right, so we got to break down these games here real quick, if I may self-promote, on NFL.com/Shek. There's the Shek Report. Look back one last time at Week 17. There's a new NFL that poses a fascinating question, I feel, which is, what if Matt Flynn on January 1st, 2012, just about 2 years ago,
right.
hadn't had that one big game in Week 17 when he stood in for Aaron Rodgers because they were 14-1. Then, of course, if he hadn't had that game, then the Seahawks wouldn't have signed him, which maybe then means that Russell Wilson wouldn't have happened for them, and who knows how the chips would have fallen. Well, I answer how those chips would have fallen.
Don't spoil it all.
Yeah, just go to NFL.com and look for the NFL, and you'll find that one. It turned out pretty well, thanks to the fellas at Bindle Dog who do the animation and make that thing what it is. I just supply the dumb words. And then also, we also gave out the Shecky Awards, and among others who have chimed in their support of the Shecky Awards and the quality of the choices we made there.
Mm-hmm.
Ross Tucker,
wow.
the former NFL player who also does a show on Sirius, does a podcast. We're going to hook up with him
oh, cool.
in the next couple of weeks, but he apparently dropped a line to say that he liked them and he wants to do a home and home, so we'll do that with him soon.
He took time out of his day to drop a line about that.
Here's what I took time out of my New Year's Day to do. I wait the full calendar year. When we do the Shecky Awards, we're about 99.8% of the way home in the year. So I can say what the best fruit of the year is and what movie I enjoyed the most and so on. But the one I feel like you have to wait to the last possible second with is the Sonic Award. If you're not familiar with the Sonic Award, this goes to the sports town whose fans have suffered the most over the calendar year. Now, the Browns reminded us of the importance of waiting till the last possible second because of their behavior during and right after Week 17 with the firing of Chutt after just one season. More pain for Cleveland fans. What else is new? You'll be surprised to learn, though. The Browns, that's the upset right there. Any year Cleveland doesn't get it, it's an upset. And, of course, we call it the Sonic Award because it started in 2008, the greatest, most apocalyptic year for one town in sports history, I dare say, because you had the Seahawks were terrible, the Mariners lost 100 games, the Sonics left town, they took Kevin Durant and left town after a terrible year. That's the worst ever, and even University of Washington went 0-12 that year, so that's right. The worst year ever. And since then, Cleveland won again, those are in the LeBron years, the second of which was when LeBron left, then Washington, D.C., then last year. You disagreed with this one, Rank, but I gave it to Pittsburgh, PA.
Yeah.
Because it's not just about win. It's not about who had a bad. It's not as simple as that. It is a major factor that a perennially losing town like Cleveland is going to be in contention. But it's not just that. It's painful losses. Like, for instance, didn't San Antonio fans suffer based on just one shot by Ray Allen more than probably Charlotte sports fans suffered over the year?
That's a fair point.
You understand the philosophically.
That's
worse.
I get what you're getting at. Yeah.
They had a title and it was pulled away from them
yeah.
in the blink of an eye. That's worse. So
that's your only team.
Right. So it's not as simple as just saying, well, who had the lowest winning percentage combined?
Fair
like
enough.
Dallas had a really, really bad year.
Yeah, how did that? Who?
Four major franchises in that town. None of them made the playoffs. Now, right. It's not that easy to make the NFL playoffs, but the Cowboys missed it. It's hard to make the baseball playoffs, too.
But
the Rangers didn't do that.
They folded, too.
Yeah, right. They collapsed down the stretch. And what's really hard to believe, the Mavs and the Stars missed the playoffs. Eight teams in a conference make it. So that's really seems mathematically unlikely that would happen. But
Napoli
Dallas didn't get it either.
Napoli went out and crushed it for the Red Sox.
That's also a factor. Pittsburgh, I know it didn't happen in the calendar year of 2013, but their arch rival, the Ravens, went out and win the Super Bowl while the Steelers missed the playoffs. That has to factor into
that
it.
That factors
on some
in,
level.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you think there, Rank? Who do you consider to be worthy of the Sonic Award? It's already been given, but I want to get your input before I tell you who won it.
And you separate L.A. from Anaheim, is that correct?
I think they're the geographical distance. It's not even the same county. I don't know how anybody counts that sort of thing.
That's fair. I just wanted to be clear. So, but gosh, Los Angeles. Let's see.
The Dodgers save it for them, right?
No, the Dodgers were terrible. The Dodgers didn't win the World Series. So that's bad.
That's terrible.
Hold on. The
Dodgers, they are kind of the Yankees. They are
the Dodgers.
They are the Yankees West now. They're even worse than the Yankees because is their payroll now officially ahead of the Yankees?
It must be. So the Dodgers didn't win the World Series. The Lakers are miserable. Kobe rips out his Achilles tendon.
Yeah.
And then so that's awful. So that's a bad situation. There's no USC. And UCLA.
Terrible embarrassment.
Both terrible.
Well, UCLA was all right.
Let's see. The Galaxy didn't win.
I don't get into that. I don't want to hear about that. I don't care about soccer.
Kings,
I get it. I just that doesn't count. For
the
me.
Kings defended their Stanley Cup admirably. They got all the way to the conference finals, but ultimately lost. So that to me, that hurts more than say them getting bounced in the, because they've now raised the expectation. You have
right.
Jonathan Quick. So now you look at a team, you're like, you know what? They could go back to back. This is a legitimate good team. A lot of
right.
guys were. Was it Los Angeles?
No, and I'll tell you, by that standard, Pittsburgh could have been considered if it weren't for the Pirates, you know,
right.
because the Penguins suffered another terrible spring flame out in the
yeah.
postseason after being a great team. That's worse to me. You know,
of course.
Always say I'd rather be a Cubs guy than a Red Sox guy pre-2004, because the Red Sox would rip your heart out. The Cubs would be June, and it's like, hey, we're out of it again. What else is new? It's a mild pain versus a sharp, knife to the gut or whatever.
This better not be leading up to you giving it to Boston. They just saying that all four sports didn't win a title and that it's awful.
Skinny tie.
Okay, so first about the payrolls. The Dodgers were second at the beginning of last year to the Yankees, 216 to 228.
Whoa. Wait a second. My jaw is on the floor right now. Wait, the guy behind the glass, the producer, as we talk about something, is pulling up germane statistics to support what we're talking about? I can't believe this. My head's spinning.
Yeah, you're not going to last long on this show. Once you've shown up black tie, you're done.
But I'm the only producer in 2014.
So that's true. Best one of 2014.
See, that's a good callback.
Mm-hmm.
Black tie would never have come up with an apt callback.
Well, I mean, it is black tie.
It's true.
So, all right. So, go ahead. So, the Dodgers, second in payroll still to the Yanks.
Yes, they're second in payroll. Boston's now fourth. Philadelphia overtook them. But
the Dodgers and the Yankees
are the only two over 200 in their payroll.
Still, though. But that can't be true anyway. Well,
right,
anyway.
It's now adjusting. This is to start
point
off
is,
the 2013.
What about St. Louis? Cardinals had a good year, so they're out of it. The Rams stink, though.
Right.
That's pretty much it. You're only a two. I can't really consider. There are only so many cities that even are worthy of it. I feel like if you don't have three,
Philly,
and at least mix in a college team,
the Blues don't exist.
Wait a second. You're right. Okay, so okay.
But they made the playoffs. I mean, they always kind of let you down.
And St. Louis is your only noteworthy college level thing, right?
Well, I mean, Mizzou has.
Oh, that counts too, right? They had a great year.
So,
okay,
yeah,
so St.
Louis
is out
of it.
Right.
Does Ohio State count for Cleveland?
I'm counting it. When it serves my purpose, I do count that.
What about the Twin Cities? Vikings are terrible. Twins aren't good. The Wild are kind of just a disappointment. No one cares anyway.
Are the Wild terrible?
Well, the Wild, they made a couple big signings, and you had that long delay before they could actually play. This is last year. And then this year, they brought in a new coach and everything, and they just kind of haven't really still met their expectations of bringing in Parise and, everything else.
Look who knows his puck. Yeah. Very nice. Very good. I like that.
And then the T-Wolves, you got just, when's Rubio going to get hurt next, or when's Love going to get hurt next? That's kind of the thing for them.
That somebody did hit me.
And the next year is going to be his walk year, and he'll end up getting traded to the Lakers.
To the Lakers. Like
that. Right.
That's where this thing's headed, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so L.A. can't be it. St. Louis is definitely not it. What about Atlanta? I've already run through these all, so I'm putting on a charade as if I haven't considered all these. But why Philly rank?
Philly, the Eagles, disappointing.
Are good.
Well, they were disappointing.
The Eagles are disappointing? They won the division.
So this is for 13, but
yes.
They didn't make the playoffs.
Flyers are a joke, which is great, which amuses me to no end. The Phillies are lousy,
I was thinking 2012 Eagles, not the third. Okay, yeah.
Eagles renders them not in the conversation. So, all right.
So, wait. So, you cannot base it so it ends at the calendar year.
Yeah.
So, the playoffs of 2000. Because the football, it's always confusing when you're writing about things where you're talking about the 1985 NFC Championship game happened in 86.
That never-ending misnomer of the 2013 thing. You always have to stop and check your work online as a result of that when you refer to the 2011 playoffs. Because, in fact, they happened in January into the second month now.
Yeah.
And you're still talking 2012, even though the 2012 season didn't end until February.
Yeah.
All right, so with no further ado, and Houston also a good one to consider because the Texans had, the team that people looked at for the Super Bowl,
they were
terrible.
They got Dwight Howard. They're fine.
That's true. They do.
They also have the Astros.
I didn't even think about Dwight Howard. Yeah, they have the terrible Astros. The thing that I thought about, though, was James Harden. Makes the future optimistic enough that that's why I could take them out of it. Atlanta, though, Falcons, a Super Bowl favorite.
So that's your winner.
Were terrible. The Braves were good, but they didn't get to the World Series, so that's that ongoing story. Very good season, but it didn't end with a ring again.
At least they're getting a new stadium.
Yeah, they don't have hockey anymore. Georgia was injury-ravaged. Mm-hmm. And who am I forgetting? Oh, the Hawks are irrelevant. They're easy to forget because they're irrelevant.
We're talking about Georgia. They are one of the most – because there's only five teams who have won 11 games in the NCAA over the last three seasons, South Carolina being one of them.
And our mutual pal, John Juhas, in the NFL newsroom, asked me that question. I said, I can't answer it yet. I have to think about it first. Now you've just given me two of the answers.
Oh, no. Well, it's not Georgia, and it's South Carolina.
It is South Carolina.
Yeah.
Alabama. So, yep. So of
it's two SEC teams.
NCAA teams have won at least 11 games. There are five of them over the last 3 years. Bama, yep. Definitely.
Uh-huh.
You say USC.
Yeah.
I said that on Twitter on January 1st.
No.
Steve Spurrier does not get nearly enough credit for turning that team, not just turning them into a bowl team,
right,
but for turning them into a perennial contender in the SEC. Before he got there, that was forever the case, was that, yeah, you know, the Gamecocks might be all right, but they're never going to be. They can't out-recruit Georgia and Tennessee and Bama and everybody else. And now look at them. It's not just like I have my doubts about Kevin Sumlin at A&M, uh-huh, because he's gone into two straight spots where he's inherited good players. I don't know that Kevin Sumlin is going to forever be successful at A&M. But Spurrier went to Columbia and turned them into a winner and continues to roll.
Until that was brought up yesterday about them winning 11 games in three consecutive seasons, the only 11-win seasons in school history, although teams now routinely play 12, 13, 14 games. I had thought that Spurrier was a little bit of a disappointment in South Carolina because,
really,
he always seems to lose a game that he shouldn't lose that knocks him out of national championship contention. But as you say, this isn't a school that goes out and wins a lot of recruiting wars. He's kind of behind the eight ball in that respect. The team that's inexplicable is Georgia. The fact that Georgia doesn't win every – I mean, there is no excuse.
College football 24/7 host Matt Money Smith here at NFL.com will argue that with you tooth and nail. He says Mark Richt is an underappreciated coach. I'm with you, though. I've argued this point with him before. It's Georgia. That is one of the powerhouse – programs. You should be able to recruit that and have one run. You should be able to run the table one time. I'm not saying you have to do it. You have to be neck and neck with Bama every single year. But
I think they should be. The success that Auburn has enjoyed over the last couple of years should be what Georgia does.
All right. Let's get to the NFL playoffs here because they kick off.
I keep derailing you off.
No,
the Sonic Award.
Here we go to the Sonic Award. Let's just wrap up our last piece of 2013 business. The 2013 Sonic Award for the sports town whose fans have suffered the most is New York City. What? I can't believe it. My jaw's on the floor. Here was the thinking. And again, you can read all about it at NFL.com/Sheck, S-H-E-K. Here was my thought. Yes, we named a bunch of bad situations there. Cleveland was the closest. But I went with New York because, you know, obviously everybody already knows this, but they have two of everything. And they're in all four major sports. They have at least two teams, which by definition means their fans are twice as likely to celebrate a championship, and not one of those teams got past the second round in its sport, in the playoffs. None of them. And in the NHL, they have three teams. None of them got past the second round. One of them didn't even make the playoffs. And as I've said many times before, and I'll say again now, the tragedy on the sports level, tragic, not real tragedy, but in sports terms, the tragedy of St. John's is the same as DePaul in Chicago. Those are the two basketball meccas in America. You know, all the football players these days come out of Florida, Texas, some out of southwestern PA and Ohio, and California. All the basketball players, or a lot of them at least, come out of New York City and Chicago. So how can neither one of those towns have a decent NCAA basketball team? It's inexplicable. You can't get one charismatic Manhattanite to go up there and say, if you don't come to St. John's, you're a traitor to your hometown, and we don't want you. If I got hired as a St. John's coach, if I were a native New Yorker, I would say I'm not recruiting anybody outside of a 60-mile radius of Times Square, and if you don't come here, then and you're from this area, then shame the devil. We don't want you. You know, change your history then, because you're not a part of our town anymore. I would lay the gauntlet down like that. Meantime, St. John's just couldn't be less relevant, and they're in the Big East, which has diminished a little bit these days. But still, you can't. Your local representative of one of the power basketball conferences can't be decent in New York City. It's weird. Anyway, New York City. You get it. Congratulations. Better luck in 2014. And the Yankees, which are, like you say, Rank, Another big factor, the Red Sox won the World Series. The Yankees didn't go to the playoffs. Their arch rival Red Sox did win the World Series. The 20th century is now way in the rearview mirror. The 21st century, though, belongs to the Red Sox, not to the Yankees. How
Absolutely.
About that? Year
Absolutely.
2000. All right.
Now, and you didn't even mention Matt Harvey.
I do mention it in the written piece, so you can look at that at NFL.com/Sheck. But yes, I did bring up the fact that, and Johan Santana, who they have all that money, who they had a bunch of loot in, may never pitch a baseball again. All right, Rank, enough about all that. Let's talk about these playoffs. We have the Chiefs and the Colts first, and then the Saints at the Eagles later in the night on Saturday, and then on Sunday we have the Bolts at the Bengals and the 49ers at the Packers. Skinny tie. Should we? Oh, we got him right out of the gate. All right, let's start the pro football portion of the program here by talking with Giovanni Bernard.
You listen to Dave Damashek.
Oh, this is good stuff, Frank. This is a guy who figures to play a prominent role in one of the wild card playoff games coming up this weekend. Can't wait for it. Rookie phenom of the Cincinnati Bengals. It's Giovanni Bernard. What's the poop, fella?
Hi, I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good.
Yeah, I guess you are. You're about to play in the playoffs. Some guys wait forever to get into those. You're in it in your rookie year. First of all, Happy New Year to you.
Same to you. Same to you.
And secondly, can I call you Gio?
Yeah, that's fine. That's totally fine.
Is that right? Or is that like something that you reserve only for those close to you?
No, that's fine.
I like that, Gio.
Well, I think it's a nice ring.
Yeah,
it's a nice ring to it.
But then again, Giovanni has an international flair to
it. Yeah, it flows well.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, first of all, let's start with this. Did you guys last Sunday after your game against the Ravens, did you gather around the TV in the locker room and watch the afternoon game to see who you were going to be playing?
No, not at all.
Really?
Yeah, guys were getting ready to get out of here. We knew we had an opponent. I think for us, it didn't really matter who we were playing. We wanted to get this win. We know what we're going up against, so we're just excited for it, really.
All right, listen, I don't want to rub you the wrong way here. I'm from Pittsburgh, PA. They have a football team in that town that you may have heard of before. And listen, I've told your pal Terrence Newman on a number of occasions over the past year that the Bengals are the most talented team in the AFC, not just in the North, in the whole AFC. And so I've been foretelling of your success, and that's before you even arrived there. But no jive. Are you happy it's not the Steelers after what happened in Heinz Field a couple weeks ago?
I'm not going to say, well, you know what? After what happened on Sunday night, was it Sunday night? Yeah, Sunday night, I think we all kind of have a bad taste in our mouth. So I think next year, once we play them, it'll be a good game. But we wanted to get our revenge back, but obviously we didn't. But we're going on. We're in the playoffs, and, you know, that was in the season. Now we're in the playoffs, and we're not really too much worried about it.
How do you feel about your opponent, the Chargers? I don't know if you follow them on Twitter, but they're tweeting out pictures from their practices. It's sunny. It's 70 degrees. They're out there having the time of their lives. Talk a little bit about them.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good team. I mean, they're able to make it into the playoffs. They're able to get the season that they were able to get, and now they're playing against us, and we're excited. We're excited to have this opportunity, but they're a good team. We our thing that we have to do, we can't take them lightly. Even though we beat them during the regular season, we can't take that game and say, okay, they're just going to lay down for us. Not at all. But, we have to go in here with a different mentality, and that's just to take over the game and to win.
Do you feel, though, that you guys have a little bit of advantage in the cold, that the weather's going to play a huge factor?
I'm not going to say we have an advantage. I think nowadays in the NFL, every team plays in, a bad weather game here and there. It's just a matter of, where they are. But they're coming to us. I think, our advantage is our home field. It's not the weather, it's our home field that we're able to play in our stadium and with our fans.
I'm always fascinated by this subject, as a matter of fact. Obviously, Peyton Manning, there's been a lot of buzz about him in the cold weather and everything else. But you went to UNC, and I think we fans tend to forget sometimes, if you're on the Packers, then you must hail from wintry conditions. Of course, a lot of you guys come from the South. Is it weird for you? Are you at all sort of thinking about how you might have to modify your style in any way, if it's snowy or cold, being a guy who came from the South?
No, not really. I think, you know, for me, you know, I've already played in cold games. The Pittsburgh game was really cold. I played in the rainy games. New England, when we played against New England here, that was a rainy game. We had a couple other ones, but, you know, it's something that you can't really worry about, especially in the sport of football. You can't control the weather, and either way, you're going to be out there playing. So you just have to prepare and just get ready for it and just be happy with the opportunity.
Well, I mentioned Peyton Manning, and about a month ago, he said that the narrative about him in the cold, you know, you could stick that narrative where the sun don't shine, all that. In your locker room, Andy Dalton, the narrative is, wow, the Bengals are loaded. They're so talented. But can Andy Dalton get this team over the hump and get them to a Super Bowl? What do you say to the people that doubt what Dalton can do?
I mean, he's gotten us into the playoffs the past, well, I think, 3 years now, including this one. And obviously, we haven't, you know, been able to win that first game in the playoffs. But I think, you know, we've surrounded him with a lot of great players. He has a good team behind him, and I think the biggest thing for him is just, you know, spread the ball out and do what he's been doing all season. I think, you know, once we're able to, you know, throw the ball around, run the ball real good, and control the line of scrimmage, everything else really take care of itself.
Yeah, that's the thing that really sticks out about your team is how many talented guys you have on offense. And you share time with Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis in the backfield. How do you feel about your role? Is there something like down the line that you desire to be a number one, run it on all three down backs? Or do you kind of like the role that you guys kind of play with each other?
Well, you know, I think, you know, every running back, obviously, they want to be the man. And, I'm not going to say that I am. But, you know, I think, you know, what we have going on right now for our team is working. And that's, for me, is all I really want. As long as it's working for the team, as long as we're able to put points on the board, we're able to score and able to win, I don't care anything else, whatever happens. My biggest thing and my biggest, you know, accomplishment or whatever is just winning. I'm just huge on that. I don't care if I don't rush for a yard and all that. I just want to win.
Do you go around now? Because like we say, rookie season and all that. Do you anticipate yourself doing anything different on Saturday night than you've done all season? Have you talked to veterans like Terrence Newman or anyone else and said, hey, should we go out or do we just stay in? Or do you address that at all, or is it business as usual?
It's business as usual. I think, you know, once you're in the season, once you kind of get to that training camp phase, you know what you have to take care of, and everybody has the same goal and mindset, and that's to get to the Super Bowl. We don't want to, you know, jeopardize that. We don't want to, you know, take away from that. We all have that same mindset. We all have that same goal, and we're all trying to do the same thing here, and let's just make it to the Super Bowl.
Are you sure that you have the same mindset? I don't know. Do you literally want the same mindset, though, as James Harrison? What's he like? What's he like to be around? Do you talk with him? Have you spoken with him in 5 months?
Yeah, I talk to him here and there. It's not a lot of words. It's not a lot of communication, but it's, you know, I can say we have a teammate friendship, and he's a great guy. He's a guy that you could tell he is a spark of our defense, and he's a guy that's, you know, going to put it on the line for their team. And no matter what color he's wearing, he's going to help that team out in any what way.
But as a rookie, how long was it before you actually made eye contact with him?
Honestly, it's probably the back end of the season when I actually started to approach him and say, hey, what's up, or whatever. But those first, I mean, during camp, when he first got here, you know, I mean, I kind of shied away from him.
That's okay. We do that with Warren Sapp here. You got to be careful.
Don't give away our trade secrets. So, Gio, one last thing for you, and I don't want to end on a sour note, but we can commiserate here. I'm a Pitt football fan, and Pitt has turned out Shady McCoy, Larry Fitzgerald, and so on. What about UNC and Pitt? You guys have put out Julius Peppers, you, Hakeem Nicks, so on and so forth. What gives? Why do both of these teams struggle so mightily to get the double digits every year?
Honestly, I really don't know. I think, you know, with our UNC team this past season, they just started off the season kind of shaky, but they're able to turn it around and have a good season, get into a bowl game and win the bowl game. But, you know, a team like Pittsburgh, you know, I've never been there, but, I mean, I've heard the players that came out of there. I mean, even with us, we have, I mean, guys across the board, Greg Little, Robert mm-hmm. Quinn. I mean, the list really does go on and on, and I mean, I don't know what the secret formula is to winning, but we turn out a lot of great players, and I mean, that's, I don't know.
I'll put UNC and Pitt talent up there against Bama or USC in the pros. It's I didn't even mention Darrell Revis. It's right. Enigmatic, Gio. That's what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the formula is, but.
Well, to make matters worse, now Duke's good at football, which can't. Yeah. It can't be. But were you a little excited when they lost? As bad as that is.
There was a little bit of a grin. but I did want the ACC to do well. So I was happy that they were, you know, keeping up with A&M, but I was happy that they lost. So it kind of win-win for me.
Right. I liked it. He's, you know, you're very honest. I appreciate you taking it. Because so many times these guys would come in and be like, hey, you know what? It's a, you know, I'm not really ready. No, you came out and you said how it is, how fans would react.
Yeah, that's true. I like the no-jive policy that Gio employs. It's the same one that we have here. Last thing then, Gio, UNC uniforms or Cincinnati Bengal uniforms? Which is better?
Bengals. Absolutely. There's no comparison. And, you know, there was an opportunity. I talked to our running back coach, Coach Jackson, and I told him how much winning in the NFL feels so much better. Better than in the college and then the college level. I don't know what it is. I think it's the preparation and just the you know, because you know how good that other team is. That you know when you win a game like that or when an opportunity comes up and you're able to do something that you've worked so hard for. I mean, the feeling's unreal.
Well, that's we'll leave it at that. There, that's a good note to go out on then, and we wish you success. This is even coming from a Steelers fan. So go get them in the playoffs, and maybe if things break just right, we'll get to hook up with you in New York City / New Jersey in what, about 4 weeks from now.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
All right, Gio. In the meantime, like I say, best wishes. Give our best to Terrence Newman and all the rest of the fellas.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Go get them this weekend. Gio Bernard, what a delight.
Very nice. See, again,
except he's wrong about the uniform thing.
No,
that's the only thing.
UNC could do very well uniform-wise.
They did great. Did you see when they wore the all-black with the powder blue trim?
That's a great look.
Oh, it was splendid.
That was a great look. But there's times where they kind of leave some chips on the table, so to speak.
I agree with that. They do. They do blow the opportunity sometimes. But then the Bengals sometimes go orange jersey, orange hat, and that's too much.
Don't care for that.
Yeah, no good.
Do 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 da 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 down ba da down bo da boom bam bam Dave.
All right, so that's that, Rank. That's a good fella, and I want to revisit with him if they advance in the playoffs.
He should become a regular.
Yeah, maybe we could get him and Terrence Newman on simultaneously. That would be talking.
I like where your head's at.
All right, let's talk here now, fellas. Chiefs, Colts, and then we'll make our pick on the Chargers. Like I said at the top, I'm legitimately struggling to make picks in any of these four games. I could see them, really, all four of them, and the weather's a big factor. Gio can say whatever he wants, but I stand by the idea that the Chargers and the Saints are behind the eight ball a little bit, having to go into frigid conditions, as far as I'm concerned.
I would have thought that before the Chargers went on a short week and beat Peyton Manning in a very cold night in Denver. Gives me a little bit more confidence that they'll be able to go out and win those cold weather games. Phillip Rivers played well in Mile High.
And also germane is the fact that the Chargers lost by a touchdown, 17-10, when the two teams played earlier this year. Obviously a close game there. But let's start off with those Chiefs at the Colts. Rank, give me your pick.
I'm going to go with the Colts. They've played recently. They played on the road, just like what you were talking about. The Colts are going to get this done. I like Andy Luck going up in this matchup. I wanted to believe in the Chiefs a little bit because they were their backups played so spiritedly in
San Diego.
Jeez. But you know what? You look at teams that rest their starters. It just never seems to work out, especially if they would have approached it like a late season or late preseason game, where Alex Smith at least went out, played a couple of series, Jamal Charles ran a little bit. Pulling off, it just doesn't seem – pulling the foot off the gas, as the cliche goes, never seems to work out, and I like what the Colts are doing.
It worked out the one time I can remember it working out, and, you know, the Steelers have had some success doing it. The year that the Saints and Colts played in the Super Bowl, both of those teams – did rest up and they benefited. But I agree with you. For the large part, it seems like those teams that let up never get it back fully.
Yeah.
That being said, I've been trying to figure out the last couple of years, Rank. We've sat in this very studio, and we try and figure out what is the common thing among the successful teams, and what are the common things that make teams losers. We talk all the time. It's a quarterback league. Is it the QB then that makes you successful? No, you clearly don't need to have a top five or even top 10 QB. Eli Manning and Joe Flacco have won the last two Super Bowls. Alex Smith almost got there 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So on and so forth. There are many examples. Rex Grossman played in a Super Bowl this century. There are plenty of examples along those lines. So it's not. It's good to have. You will probably make the playoffs almost every year. Look at Peyton Manning and Tom Brady teams. You'll almost never miss the playoffs if you have a great QB. But winning does not. Having that QB doesn't guarantee you Super Bowl success. So that's not it. Is it a great offensive line? Well, no, because Aaron Rodgers has had great postseason success.
Ben Roethlisberger.
So that's not the key. Is it a stout defense? No, because the Patriots got to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. The Packers almost got to the Super Bowl. The year they went 15-1, they had the second worst defense. So it's not that. Here's what I think it is. We talk about the Jenga effect all the time, and if you take one piece out of the puzzle, it makes teams collapse, or does it? That's what it's about. Depth, if you can overcome those injuries, because you're going to have them. Teams have all had injuries, and they'll continue to happen over the coming weeks here. If you can get to New York City, and even if you've lost some key pieces, you still have enough depth organizationally that you can overcome those. That's the trick, and I feel like the Chiefs are a deeper team than the Colts. The Colts don't have a great defense. It has played better of late. I do like Andrew Luck in that dome, and I like the swagger and all that stuff. But I just happen to think practically, I think the Chiefs are going to be able to pound them on the ground. I think that's what's going to happen. I think they have a good defense. I think their important defensive pieces are going to be healthy enough to play. That will help them, of course. That was the real story with the Chiefs, was how great that defense was until Haley and Houston went down there. Now I think that they're, as those guys round back into shape, I think the Chiefs get back to where they were in our brains 6 weeks ago before those two Broncos games. I say the Chiefs win this one.
You've almost changed my mind. It's really close, these two teams. But, gosh, they've played. I mean, it's hard to look at a game like that and see them.
In KC, no less, right.
They play, and it was recent, and there was a lot on the line. Man, I don't.
All right, listen. I'm not going to argue anybody and think anybody's crazy for however they pick these games or whoever you think's going to the Super Bowl, because they're all pretty much coin flips. The next one, the Saints at the Eagles. It's supposed to be cold and Philly. That place will be crazy for what that's worth. The Saints aren't strangers to playing in crazy atmospheres, but the struggle for them has been going on the road. It does make sense, as much as people want to shoot it down, it does make sense that a team that slings it around that much might struggle a little bit in the cold. How say you, Rank? Saints at the Eagles.
Got to be the Eagles. I know it's become a talking point to talk about how poorly the Saints play on the road, but, I mean, it's not a talking point when it actually happens. There just isn't a good sample of the Saints going out, especially in poor conditions where they've played in bad weather. The most comparable game to this would be the one they went up in Seattle and played, and this looked miserable. And, you know, they've got a history. You know, Drew Brees, when he took the Saints up to Seattle when the Seahawks were a 7-win team, still lost that game in the playoffs. I see this playing out pretty much the same way. The Eagles have impressed me, and the Eagles have impressed me, too, when they play in the cold. If you remember that game against the Lions.
Think about how big that was, and you could even render that one sort of, if you're a Lions fan and bitter that your team didn't make the playoffs, you could kind of look at that and say, what if that was played under normal circumstances? What if it wasn't a foot of snow on the ground?
Right.
If the Lions win that game, things are completely upside down all of a sudden. But anyway,
of course. But the Eagles did play well, and everybody was wondering how Chip Kelly's fast-paced offense would behave in weather like that. And he showed, you know what, it doesn't matter. The weather doesn't make a difference to them. They play, and they're the one team, as we're recording this right now, that's actually sold out their game.
I know, it's crazy. I really don't understand. I get the idea that you don't want to sit out in the cold, but that's part of the charm of the NFL playoffs.
Isn't it?
It's the shared experience with the players. I feel that's why fans are more intense. Football fans tend to be more intense. I feel like it has something to do with that, that the buy-in from those cold weather fans with their team, that there's a connection there that can't be replicated in any other sport. There's something about that shared, we're all out here freezing, yeah. Fellas. We all went through this, the experience of being out there for 4 hours like that. I think the Eagles are going to win too, and here's why. I think that a lot of our lazier colleagues, I'm not talking about at the network, but I've heard a lot of people say things like, even as recently as 2 days ago, hey, you know, Rob Ryan really turned that defense around. Well, yeah, they played well initially, but I don't think they've been that good lately. I think they're getting exposed, and I think that Kenny Vaccaro going down is a significant piece for a defense that is very thin to begin with. Talk about Jenga, that ruins that defense. He was arguably a top two defender for them this year.
Oh, yeah, you talk about rookie of the year candidates. He was really.
I think that loss is huge for them, and I think Shady and DeSean Jackson and the rest are going to have their way there. So I'll take the Eagles. Skinny Tie, you wanted to weigh in with something there?
I was going to add in that the Eagles are also probably the hottest team. They've won 7 of their last 8 games.
Them and the Niners. Yeah, the Niners only lost that one game at the Panthers, or they'd be on a similar, or they are still, they'd be undefeated.
They've won 6 consecutive games.
Did I hear? I think they would have won 10 in a row. I think they're 9-1 or maybe even 10-1 in their last I guess you can do the math on how many games that is.
For the Eagles or
the
Niners?
You add 1 to whatever the bigger number is. If it was 10, anyway. All right, so that's Saturday. And then the Sunday.
Is the biggest upset that the Saturday playoffs don't kick off with the Bengals?
Because
it seems to be a tradition that they're always, them playing the Texans just kicks off the Saturday game that nobody's really like, you know what, we're going to go to the swap meet. And if we have to miss one of these, if we have to go to a birthday party or a bridal shower or something, that's always the first one that gets like, that's the
that's
one you'll
so
sacrifice.
True that is the measurement.
And as long as it's the Bengals, then nobody really seems to feel bad.
It does, for a lot of people. There, for a lot of fellas out there, there is the negotiation of, you know, it's one thing to, because everybody who likes pro football doesn't like college football and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So the people that have not set up the fall with their in their lives with their significant other and or their kids is that you choose one or the other. Like, well, Sundays I always am going to be watching the games. You usually don't get both. You usually don't get all Saturday and all Sunday. Right. So you choose one. Now that conversation changes for the month of February. Well, now I need both days. I got to have both of them free. But, yeah, a lot of people don't get it. You have to say, all right, I'm free. Okay, I guess I can be free for the Chargers-Bengals game. Yeah, it'll go. Gio Bernard was honest. I liked it, but you could hear in his voice, he didn't want nothing to do with them Steelers. He's lucky he avoided.
Was that what you were getting?
That's exactly what I got.
That's not what I was getting. No, I was getting the maybe a little disappointment that they weren't able to try to get that win back from the Steelers that maybe perhaps the Bengals were hoping to see the Steelers again. You know, the scouting's a little bit easier. You understand. You have some film to look at. You could see some things that you did wrong.
Now they played the Chargers. You think they'd rather play the Steelers than the Chargers? You think they'd rather have Ben Roethlisberger coming in there, a guy who's tormented them in the playoffs and otherwise, over Phil Rivers? You think that's that they're, oh, well, we would have been better off with the black and gold, the bully of our division for all of time.
The Ravens?
Instead of... Yeah, the Ravens. Though much better. But instead we got the team from San Diego.
It's playing good football right now.
They should have lost to the Chiefs' second stringers.
They won.
I congratulate them.
They earned a victory.
I could see that.
Like
listen,
anybody.
I could see them winning that game. What do we know? We know that Andy Dalton has gotten to the playoffs 3 straight years. Mm-hmm. We have yet to see him succeed in one of those playoff games. I don't put that as much on him as I do Jay Gruden, and I'm stunned to hear his name being floated out there.
Oh, my gosh.
As an NFL head coach. That seems ludicrous.
How do they not get rid of him and just – if Hugh Jackson doesn't get picked up by one of these teams, and to me that would be a mistake if somebody didn't look at him. Because now when you look back, as Mike Silver pointed out on NFL.com, that when you look back at what Hugh Jackson did in his – 1 year in Oakland winning 8 games. If you're not impressed by that now, looking at what Bruce Allen's been unable to do, everything that's happened in Oakland, and you're not impressed by him, then you know what? There's something wrong.
All right, so who's winning this game? You want to say it just because you're so – but people always tell me I have an East Coast bias, which is laughable. I have East Coast bias. Well, first of all, I just put New York City as the Sonic Award winner, so how biased is that? But anyway, Rank, you have the interesting disposition of being West Coast biased.
What? I don't agree with that at all. But I'm going to pick the Chargers to win
this game. Listen, what did I just tell you? I told you about depth. That's what I'm going to ride in January of 2014. The deepest teams are the ones that are going to go the furthest, not the ones that have the best individual one or two or three players.
Right.
But overall, top to bottom, depth in roster. Bengals have a better one. Bengals win this one. Might go to the Super Bowl.
But
right. I just said it. And I don't get, Andy Dalton's going to go to the Super Bowl? Yeah, Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl last year. Is it
Ben
now you're laughing?
Won a Super Bowl.
Oh,
yeah.
Quiet.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out, guys, that you might. If you believe in your heart of hearts,
if you put it that way, if he did win it, then the NFC, the AFC North then becomes the best division in football, right, over the last decade?
Oh, absolutely.
Because you would have.
Oh, absolutely.
Since 2005, you would have the last eight or nine titles would have been won by if the Bengals were to win the Super Bowl. It's assuming a great deal, but they would have won almost half of all available Super Bowls in that window.
But I want to – okay, let's say that you're correct, that the Bengals are sitting there looking at this like, you know what, thank goodness we don't have to play the Steelers. Then you're admitting that they would take a little bit off the gas. They would take a step back.
Right.
They feel a sense of relief.
I'm putting too much into that. I'm sure they haven't thought about it twice since Monday or whatever.
Well, think about it. You know, because Gio was so quick to be like, we didn't even watch the game. We just bounced. Everybody went out and did their own thing to where maybe they did. Maybe they did think about it a little bit. Maybe they were a little relieved they didn't have to play the Steelers. I don't agree with that, but if that was actually the case, that would work in the Chargers' favor. And they come in. And also, you see these teams that just kind of come out. Like, you see a team that barely gets into the playoffs. It kind of doesn't deserve to
I
be
agree.
There. That kind of thing always seems
playing
to work out.
Playing with house money. The mentality of playing with house money is a good spot to be in. I completely agree with you, especially if you've already had one or two losses.
Right.
Now the pressure is more. Do you think Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are going to feel additional pressure once they're the home team? They're supposed to do it. I feel like that's a tough spot. Of course, you'd rather be in that spot, but
right.
I feel like that's a tough one when people have started that buzz about, and they hear it. Brady and Peyton and all those guys hear it. Like, well, it's been a long time, man. Been a long time. You got to win now. You know, you threw that interception last year, Peyton. You're gonna right the ship. I think that is a huge thing. And I agree with you on that. And the Chargers are definitely that team that probably has that feeling.
And it's proven that Peyton Manning came out earlier this season and said, whoever wrote that narrative can stick it where the sun don't shine, proves that he's thinking about it, that it's in his head. And additionally, but going back to San Diego, it's one of those things that a lot of times you could sit here and we can X and O this thing and like point out why the Bengals should win and how well they've been playing and how talented they are, how deep their roster is. But this is a game played by human beings. And a lot of times things like this happen where, you know what, the Chargers are just lucky to be there. They got nothing to lose, blah, blah, blah. There you go. They have a good chance. And that's the one thing. And then what happens every Monday morning after the playoffs is people, who would have seen this coming? Who would have seen this coming with the Chargers? You know, they were barely – they shouldn't have won that game. They lined up with too many guys on one side of the field. Mm-hmm. There should have been a penalty and everything. This is what happens all
the time.
I do
like thinking about it in those terms is I try to think about, like, what can I hear – them talking about on Sunday night or Monday morning. Like, can't you hear whoever, you know, Rich Eisen or whomever saying,
Who would have thought
a week ago they shouldn't have been in the playoffs and now they're on to the divisional round to take on Peyton Manning. That is what would happen, of course. If the Chargers won, it'd be back to Mile High. Bengals, as it is, if we're right that the Bengals win, well, if I'm right, the Bengals then go to Foxborough and the Chiefs go to Denver. I think,
you know what you could say too?
I think the Chiefs, I'm telling you, I really believe the Chiefs, if they're healthy, if they have Holly and Houston both in good shape, and Jamal Charles, I think they go in and beat them. I think Jamal Charles will run on them, on those Broncos, and I think that those defenders will harass and harangue Peyton Manning.
Could you see
Or you get Andy Luck going there.
Yeah.
I mean, these games are all great.
Yeah, the Chiefs should rest their starters again.
All right, let's
just
get...
in case so they can be ready to go. But you know what? To take that one step further about the Bengals, if the Bengals end up winning this game, this is how big it is for me for Cincinnati. If the Bengals end up winning that game, they probably go to the Super Bowl because they would have that monkey off their back. They would play the. They'd play the Patriots, who you'd be like, yeah, you know what? They've beaten them already this season, so they would have that in their pocket. They would probably beat them because this isn't a great Patriots team. And then if they went to the AFC Championship game, and let's say by some miracle.
If they get Bengals, it could be Bengals at home with the Chiefs, and the Bengals are a good – they're a way better home team than they are a road team.
Even if they played the Broncos, I would still like their chances.
I like their defense, yeah. All right, so now let's get to the wild card finale here. And all those games are good that we just talked about, but this is man, what a marvelous game this one figures to be. Ooh. The San Francisco 49ers with Jim Harbaugh. 2 years as the coach, he goes to the NFC title game. Then he goes to the Super Bowl. Here he is in year three. If he goes on a run to the Super Bowl again, I think we have to declare him the best a coach in the NFL. Mm-hmm. His team is playing great, as we mentioned. They're getting healthy or are healthy now at just the right time, and that's a big factor. Then again, so too are the Packers, save Clay Matthews, and that's a significant loss for them. Mm-hmm. They need that pass rushing that he gives them. Packers at home, though, and again, 0 degrees, and that's big, I say. If it were in a dome, I'll take the Niners. In Lambeau, and we talked to A.J. Hawk. You can go back and listen to that earlier in the week, and he was great as usual, talking all about how the Niners have had the Pack's number and all that sort of stuff. He also looked back at the great Week 17 game in Soldier Field. A.J. Hawk, always our main man. Go and listen to him. But anyway, from the previous podcast, but all right, Rank, lay it on me.
You know what? What we just said about the San Diego Chargers, one of those teams fortunate to be in the playoffs. Packers are in a very similar situation where, you know what, they got fortunate
that
nobody ran to that ball on the fumble from Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, again, makes a fantastic play and burns the Bears with the touchdown pass to Randall Cobb to put them in the lead and ultimately win the game. So they're one of those teams that are freewheeling, ready to go, and everything looks really good for them. But this will be the case where I will go the other way and go against the Packers. The thing about San Francisco, they're the hottest team in the league right now, 6 consecutive wins. Colin Kaepernick starting to play really well. If you look at his numbers against teams in the playoffs, not very good. His passer rating is below 70. Against teams that are in the playoffs, but he plays so well against this Packers team. And remember last year when he started running. Now, Colin Kaepernick was a guy that I saw play a lot in college. I was watching the game when he ran. He ran for 250 yards.
Does Skinny Ty know where he went to college?
I'm sure he knows.
Nevada.
Yeah. Oh. Of course he would know. Black Tie would not know. Skinny Tie is going to know that information. His game.
Do you think if we went around and took a poll in the newsroom, do you think everybody would know that?
You know what it comes up to? There are certain guys who do this, and it somewhat offends me where people will always talk about like, oh, yeah, Michael Olowokandi, he went to Pacific. It's like, all right, you're reciting something that you've seen off a card, but you're posing as somebody who watched Olowokandi play. I saw Olowokandi play in college in person. And I've had this conversation with somebody, so this is a thing. Like, I've seen him play in person. He played for the University of Pacific, who would play Cal State Fullerton every year, so he was in Titan Gym once a season, and I remember even talking to Randy Fund, who was there scouting him because it was post-Lakers after he was fired. Jerry West would come to Titan Gym and watch him, too. So it offends me when people do the, oh, yeah, he went to Nevada, and of course... Skinny Tie, of course, watches college football and will have seen him play. It's the guys who come out like, of course, he went to Nevada. It's like, because you've seen it on his card.
Well, the bigger resentment I have is for the or as we've talked about, I don't understand people who don't watch college football. If you love pro football, it's weird to me. Don't you care? Anyway, that's another conversation.
It's another story. But
weird to me. And you're comparing. So your point is Olowokandi is Colin Kaepernick of basketball,
yes,
or something?
I don't exactly know. The point. And that's why. No, San Francisco, this is a good matchup for them. They've won 3 consecutive games against the Packers. I like what Colin Kaepernick does. And you've been saying this for quite some time, is that the 49ers have basically just played their –
They've
played
used,
to get into the playoffs, and now it's like, you know what, Kaepernick, run. Go for 300 yards.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they haven't tried to run the ball and Kaepernick hasn't tried to get it going with the legs in the season, but I think that will be featured a little more prominently because that is opened up by – the presence of Michael Crabtree and a healthy Vernon Davis and Anquan Boldin. I think those guys being out there opens up space in the middle of the field for Kaepernick to do that. So, yeah, that's – and then on the other hand, you can't throw – the numbers are meaningless because you throw out the stat about what his passer rating is, Kaepernick, in season. Yeah, but he didn't have those guys. Also, he had Vernon – when Vernon Davis is out there, it's a much better offense. And now you throw Crabtree in it, it's that much better. Same thing. You can't look at the Packers' record and say, well, they're 8-7-1. They're not – it's not like the equivalent of the Chargers or any of those other teams in the AFC that almost got into the playoffs. Because that team was on a roll right when Rodgers got hurt. They were really starting to kick it into high gear. I think they would probably be 12-4. They would have run away with the division if Rodgers doesn't get hurt when he did whatever it was 7-8 weeks ago. So this is a tough one to call. In the frigid conditions, I think we always hear about how physical the Niners are. I know it's in Lambeau. It's Green Bay. But I think a physical team in the cold, it's hard to quantify. It's not as easy as like, wow, that guy throws for 400 yards all the time. Yeah, boy, they have a lot of fast guys on their team. But the physical effect in the cold of getting hit hard over and over again takes its toll, not early, but late. And late in the third quarter and beyond, if you're in a tight ball game, the physical team's going to win, especially in those frigid conditions. I'm going to say the Niners by a hair. Mm-hmm. None of these results will surprise me, though. Of the four. I could see the Saints. Absolutely. It's not like the Eagles are that great. The Saints could beat that team.
Could you see that? You know, and we talk about trying to imagine what the storylines are going to be on Monday. And as easy as you were talking about, like, what do you think Rich Eisen could be saying the next day? Easily like, hey, you know what? Everybody thought the Saints couldn't play outside Drew Brees, who played at Purdue, even though it was a long time ago, still played at Purdue, would go out and prove them wrong.
That's true.
So any of these.
Look, look. You got Peyton Manning. You got Tom Brady. You got Colin Kaepernick. Look, there are a lot of great quarterbacks. But Drew Brees is putting something pretty special together down there on the bayou. This just in, Purdue quarterbacks are pretty good. Back on the blitz.
That could happen. If the Niners win, then the Niners go to Seattle.
Wait, they're the 5 seed?
As long as the Saints don't win.
As long as the Saints don't win.
If the Niners win, then the Niners go to Seattle. That's the one we want. That's the one of all the games you could ask for. That's the one we most want to see, right?
Absolutely.
More than Patriots, Patriots Bronx.
Let's get wildly speculative.
Or
say, would you?
And then it would be the Eagles at the Panthers, which is juicy. That's a great one too. Different styles, as they say. Style makes the matchup. I like that one.
Do you think it also factors into a player's mindset to where, okay, we're going up, we're going to go play the Eagles, it's cold. And then you realize if we win this game, we have to go up to Seattle where we were just embarrassed a couple of weeks ago, to where they're just like, eh, whatever happens.
Well, that's the one thing I've been saying. I think Pittsburgh, if they had gotten in, would have a very good chance against the Bengals. But if they win that game, then they likely go to, or they definitely would have gone up to Mile High, and that would not be a good matchup for Pittsburgh with their back end. That would not go well. If the Packers win, so there are your matchups.
There's your next
I hope we get Niners. But if the Packers win, then and the Eagles win, then the Packers go to Seattle, and for one game, Aaron Rodgers in there would be very interesting with that, because he's got most of those guys back and going now too on his side of the ball. So that would also be a fascinating one. Point is, it's going to be positively gay. I will be in front of the TV for each minute, each moment. I'm clearing the schedule. I don't care. Shame the devil. This is the time. This, I know, Rank, you gave out a Shecky Award for best sports weekend in 2013.
Yep.
And the championship games are great and everything. But I think the wild card, if things break right, the divisional round will be the greatest.
Could there be the
one. Because if you get Seahawks and Niners on one side, and you get Chiefs at Bronx on the other, plus the most talented AFC roster, the Bengals at Tom Brady. Oh, I'm swooning already, and it hasn't even happened
yet.
Well,
then you know what? They would be in the lead for the Shecky Award for 2014.
True enough. All right, Rank, anything to plug before we skip out?
Are we skipping out?
Yeah, I think that's enough. I think we've said more than enough. Let's go watch the games. You know,
well, let's say, well, and do our due diligence. We did offer a chance for our fantasy team to come up and explain the playoff challenge.
Oh, yes, yes.
And as, I guess, since somebody who is
Fabiano and all those guys, they're too busy.
Marcus Grant. So as somebody who is on that show, I guess I can take the mantle here and ask you guys to please go to NFL.com/fantasy. That's where you can find our playoff challenge. Here's how it works. You pick a team, you pick a lineup, and then you ride them through the playoffs, and you pick a quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, tight end, kicker, defense, and there's multipliers. There's all sorts of good stuff. So go out. I encourage you to play. And as a matter of fact, there is a league set up called the Rank Amateurs, and you can find us. We're on that first page there when you see all the leagues and everything. So go ahead and sign up for that. And you know what? Tweet me. If you have any specific questions, I will answer them for you. I will personally walk you through it. But go to NFL.com/fantasy to get signed up, because the fantasy season is not over.
Yeah, you know, basically the Cliff's Notes version of the fantasy challenge is that you should take the team that you think is going to the Super Bowl. That's
yes.
How you do it.
I loaded up with a bunch of 49ers, because then when your guys survive in advance, the points multiply. So if you pick a bunch of 49ers, they win. Then in the divisional round, they get double the points. And if you're somebody who thinks that the New England Patriots are going to go to the Super Bowl, you can pick Tom Brady this round. You'll get a bagel from him for the wild card weekend. But starting in that divisional round, you automatically start off with double the points. And a lot of people do that because you're taking a risk with all these teams. As you said, you know, you could see any one of these eight teams advancing. But you do know for sure that Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, those guys have already advanced to the second round. Their points will be double. So that's another, it's a little bit of strategy that you got to do, but you can't. But none of that matters if you don't sign up. So go to NFL.com/fantasy.
Wow, that sounded like a pitch almost.
A little bit.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Like, but none of it can happen. You're going to miss 100% of the shots you'd ever take. That's why you got to get on fantasy. Well, that's a hockey reference, so that doesn't make miss 100%.
I thought that was a Michael Scott reference.
Something like that. Either way, all right, enough's enough. Let's go watch football, fellas. Go to NFL.com/Sheck. Also, you see, like I say, the Sheck Report, the NFL, the Sonic Awards, so on and so forth. All sorts of stuff there for you. Our last podcast with AJ Hawk, and thanks to Giovanni Bernard, and best wishes to him in front of his first playoff game. Thanks to Rank. Thanks to Skinny Ty, and enjoy the games, everybody. We'll be back on the other side of the wild card round to look back at those and look ahead to the divisional round. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of hell.